Om Shanti. As all of you know that at the beginning when the yajna started, it actually started with Om, the chanting of Om. How Brahma Baba used to chant Om, and that attracted so many souls. So many would go into trance and get wonderful experiences of heaven after hearing the chanting of Om.
Did you go into trance or have visions while chanting Om? Did you have the experience?
This is at the beginning of the yajna. I came much later. But I used to hear a lot from the dadis how they used to chant Om. So it wasn't very simple as Om Shanti like that, but a long sound of Om. So I will show you how they would chant. Without Shanti, at the beginning there was no Shanti. It was just Om. And that is why this special gathering was called Om Mandali, the gathering of those who chant Om. So, and they also say that when God, before saying anything, the first word he uttered was Om. So this word Om is of great significance. So I will chant it 3 times. And you can
everyone
also
join?
Yeah, you can join me. If you like, you can shut your eyes, because ears will do the job of hearing, but eyes are not needed. So you can just shut your eyes and go deep inside.
Called Brahma Baba, Om Baba in the beginning. Right?
Yes, all those who came at the beginning, because everyone used to chant Om, so each one was named with Om. For example, Mama, her Laukik name was Radhika, Radhe, and she was called Om Radhe. So everybody was given this prefix Om before the name. So Om Radhe, Om Gange, Om Manohar, Om. So Om was the prefix for before the name. Everyone was given this name.
And the
spiritual names came much later on, but the very beginning, because everyone used to chant Om.
Why did this practice stop and when did it finish?
Actually, because at the beginning there was no gyan, no knowledge was not there. It was Baba, Shiv Baba attracting souls through love. And then in bhakti, on the path of devotion, people are so used to chanting. And therefore, to attract souls, this chanting was done. And also they used to sing bhajans, hymns, all in praise of God. So when Baba used to write and Mama used to sing and everybody used to sing with Mama. Mama had a very good voice and she also would play the musical instruments, harmonium, sitar, and she used to create the music too of the wordings which Baba used to write. And this way the beginning was singing or chanting Om and then hymns all in praise of God. So it was like coming out of bhakti into gyan, but then the attraction of bhakti was so much, so Baba put that form also at the beginning to attract children into gyan. Like Baba says, people worship the Shivlingam. So if Baba would have said Baba's point of light, Jyoti Bindu, point of light, people would not have understood. So before Baba used to say Shivling, so people could understand as it is also a form in bhakti. This word Shivling was mentioned. You'll notice the old pictures of the three murtis, cycle and the kalpa tree, which were the original pictures. Everywhere it's written Jyotirlingam. Shiva speaks Jyotirlingam. Jyotirbindu came, this point came much later.
So Srila, when could you describe your first meeting with Brahma Baba? Was that when you were 12 years old?
Yes.
What was it that attracted you? What was the quality that stood out for you? And what did you feel inside?
Actually, I lost my father when I was very small, just 3 days old. Only 3 days. This body was 3 days. And my father died in an accident. So I never saw my father. And therefore that thought that I don't have a father, this used to, you know, hurt me a lot. But then when I was about 10, 11 years old, or maybe 12, I don't remember, but around that time, my mother, she had already come into Gyan when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I was living in Mumbai and studying, going to school. So one day my mother, she took me to Baba. Baba used to come to Mumbai nearly every year and stay for 3 months in Mumbai. So my mother took me to Baba. And I watched how Baba was taking everyone in his lap. You know, everyone would go in front of Baba, put the head in Baba's lap. And Baba would pat on the back and then give drishti and a blessing. Baba would say something and then toli in the mouth. So I watched how everyone was going in Baba's lap and Baba was blessing each soul and also giving toli. So when it was, my mother also did the same. I watched my mother. And then when it was my turn, because we were all going one after the other, so it was my turn after my mother. But I was hesitating because I thought maybe he's a guru, a big man, something, big personality, and I'm so small. So I was hesitating whether I will be accepted or not, you know, because little children, whether they'll be accepted, they don't only, only older people are going. So I sat quiet. But then after my mother finished, she got up and then it was my turn after her because I was sitting next to her. So Baba called me. Baba called me and said, come child, come, come. So I felt like, come child, when Baba said, no, come daughter. So I felt my father had called me. So that was the first pull towards Baba and I felt this, he's my real father. So I got up from my seat and ran to Baba and just got hold of him tight and, you know, I shook Baba also. Baba was very tall, so I just went, put my head in Baba's lap and I just hugged Baba. and Baba patted on my back. And then whilst patting, he gave me a blessing. The child has come back to the father. This is what Baba told me. The child has come back to the father, and I found my real father. So this was the beginning. And so I always tell everyone with great pride that everyone has his own way of taking spiritual birth. But I say with great pride that I took spiritual birth in Brahma Baba's lap.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my spiritual birth. Because I found my real father.
So the relationship of the father was the predominant one then throughout your life?
Yes.
Which would be the second friend, teacher?
The second would be teacher. Because I loved Baba's Gyan very much. The very first day when my mother took me to a Gita Pathshala where she used to go, there how I heard the Murli. And as I was hearing the Murli, I felt this was so easy to understand. It wasn't difficult at all and I could understand everything. And when that teacher, she repeated the points, I could also repeat the points. It was my first day. So I felt this was very nice knowledge because I loved to study. Studying was my greatest hobby, or you can say the greatest attraction. So this was like a study for me. So I feel my second relationship is Baba as a teacher. I felt the Gyan very logical. I felt everything was real. I had no doubts, no questions, nothing to ponder on or think about it. I felt it was so easy to understand and this is what it was meant to be. So I never had searched for anything. I feel that it was like my second birth. So in my past life also I must have been a Brahmin and then come to Baba again. And so it was like so natural for me to accept everything without any questions or doubts or anything.
And you finished your Laukik studies at the same time?
Yes, I was studying and then this was in 1960 when I first met Baba. Then I was studying in 1967. I had to decide what line to take. I could take up engineering, I could take up medical. So I was not knowing what to do. So in my family, everyone wanted me to take medical line and become a doctor. So I wrote a letter to Baba. Baba, this is what my family wants me and I don't know what to do. I want to serve Baba. This was my aim. So Baba wrote a letter back to me and replied to that question. Baba said, Baba has great hopes in you and he wants you to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. These were Baba's words in a letter. Baba wants you to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. And that was it. So I felt this is what Baba wants me to do. This is what my future is. I have to serve the world by becoming a spiritual doctor, not a physical doctor.
And that's what you are doing.
So, yes. But I completed my education. I did 2 years of graduation, BSc, Bachelor of Science. And then I dedicated in 69. So that was the year when Baba left the body. So I was still in my final year when Baba left the body.
So how often would you meet Baba during those years of study? And tell us more about his personality and what impact that had on you.
I had come to Madhuban twice during my days with Baba. In 1960, I got this Gyan, 59 December or 60. I don't really remember. But then after one year, I came to Madhuban in 1961. Or maybe, I'm not sure, 60 or 61. This was that. You know, in those days where we used to think what year it is and what date it is and this is my spiritual birthday, I was so young too, so never thought of those dates and days. But then within a year I came to Madhuban. So it was not 62, it was 61, because at that time the history hall was not built. History hall was built in 62, that's what I was told. So before, in summer, Baba used to get a tent put, and in the tent we used to have classes. Otherwise, in the old Pandav Bhavan, old building, you know, where Didi's room, Amma's room, Ishida's office, that main entrance of the old building in Pandav Bhavan, that was the classroom. Mm-hmm. And during summer, when more children would come, then Baba would put a tent, and we would have classes in the open, because it was quite nice and warm. So at night it used to be cold, morning used to be cold, so we used to have it in that small hall. But summertime, in the open. So the history hall was built in 62. So I remember that. And therefore the first time I came in 61. I came again in 64. I came in 64 and I saw that how Baba and Mama both were in Madhuban, and both used to meet the children, meet the groups, because at that time there was nothing else. Just meeting Bap Dada, being with Bap Dada, playing with Bap Dada, eating with Bap Dada, you know, that was what Madhuban was. And Baba was present all the time. Amrit Vela, Baba would come and conduct meditation. And then Murli by Baba and Mama in the history hall. And then after that we used to sit on the swing with Baba and Mama. And Brahma Bhojan. So whole day with Baba and Mama. That was what Madhuban was. And Baba used to say that in this way you are refreshing yourselves. You are filling your battery with power and you have to now go and shower. You filled up the clouds and then you have to go and burst. You have to go and shower. So we used to stay for 1 week. And I also remember one special thing, that I did give a speech in front of Baba in Madhuban in English. And Baba was very happy. Baba said, "You speak very good English." And Baba is very pleased with you. And when you grow up, Baba will send you abroad. Baba will send you to foreign countries for service. This is what Baba told me. Because I was speaking in English, and Baba always liked children, you know, Kumaris who could speak English, so that Baba could send them overseas for service. When Baba used to tell the dadis that you have to go abroad and serve, then the dadis would tell Baba, "Baba, we don't know English." Baba would say, "Don't worry, you will get many interpreters." And when Baba used to see Kumaris who could speak English, Baba would tell them, "You have to go abroad and serve." So Baba gave this blessing to me also. You have to go abroad and serve. And this is why in 67, when I wrote a letter that my family wants me to become a doctor, so Baba advised, "Child, Baba wants you to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world." So in the earlier days, it was just Baba and Mama, the attraction of Madhuban. There were no regular classes like this. We used to play with Baba. I remember playing table tennis with Baba, badminton with Baba, cricket with Baba. That just behind History Hall, where the Tower of Peace is, that was an open ground where Baba used to play outdoor games.
What was the attraction in his personality? What were the qualities that attracted you?
Well, the first thing was I found my real father. This is what I felt. And the second thing was that Baba used to give so much love, so much love. So love was the other attraction. The virtue of love, the relationship of father, the virtue of love, and then the knowledge which Baba would give, that also attracted. So father's attraction, attraction of knowledge, attraction of love, that was what pulled me to Baba.
We hear many stories that Brahma Baba used to be very strict too, and he had a balance of law and love. But for you it must have been more the love, right?
Baba, I don't think that he used to use any law. I remember Dadi saying once that this is a family, and in a family you can't use law. It is love. Love is the law. You understand?
Yeah.
Love is the law. So even Brahma Baba, he will not like some things of the children, but Baba would explain with great love. Never did Baba ever get angry or upset or say any abusive words. Or then never. So it was all love all the time.
That's really nice to hear that. Because in the West, some of us regret that we weren't there for the 14 years of tapasya. Mm. And the answer we sometimes get is, Brahma Baba used to be very strict and you probably wouldn't have been able to cope with that.
No.
And I have always said, but there must have been so much love at the same time.
Never. Actually, Baba never really, used the law. It was love. And sometimes Mama would be a little bit strict because she was the mother. So Baba would send the child to Mama. And Mama would sometimes show a stern eye and say, "See, you did this, you are spoiling Baba's name." So Mama used to show a stern eye. But Baba was, he was the father. So he was like big-hearted. Everything be, never mind child, never mind, Baba would say. And at night, Baba used to tell Mama to hold the court. Mm-hmm. So Mama used to hold the court. Baba never came in the court. Uh-huh. Because Shiv Baba was in Brahma Baba's body. And if by chance somebody tried to hide something or tried to speak lies, it would be a great sin. Because speaking in front of God, telling a lie, in front of Mama, okay. So Mama used to be in the court and she would ask, "Did anyone commit any mistake today? So you come and apologize. If anyone found anyone giving sorrow, you can come and tell." So that was like a court where each one would say what they wanted to say, what was in their mind, or if they saw any, anyone giving sorrow or anyone giving them sorrow or they give sorrow to anyone. So they would say sorry But if somebody tried to hide, well, Mama would explain, "See, you should not hide. Because if you hide now, then in Dharamrajpuri, you will be punished 100-fold. So better tell it now." But Baba never joined that court because Baba would say, if Baba comes and somebody is hiding the truth or speaking lies, then it's a great sin. So Mama would do it and Mama would show a stern eye. Mama would say, "Okay, now you say sorry." So it was done.
So Baba would never point out any defects or mistakes personally to anyone?
No. But if Baba came to know, Baba would tell everything in general in the murli.
Yeah.
See, like yesterday also Baba said, today also Baba said, that how you should explain in the exhibition, no stupid person, no foolish person should explain in the music, in the exhibition, because if someone who doesn't understand Gyan, and if he's trying to explain Gyan to others in the exhibition, then people will think, "Oh, this person doesn't know anything, what he's explaining to me," so it's a bad name for the organization. And therefore Baba used to tell all that the murli, because some used to complain to Baba. Write letters, "Baba, so and so explained, but then he doesn't explain well and people are not satisfied with him." So Baba used to write back that you first make him understand before he starts explaining Gyan to others. Then Baba used to send some senior dadis to make sure that those who are explaining exhibitions are explaining well or not well. So Baba used to do that type of administration. But if there was something which Baba had to point out, he would tell in the murli. Yeah. But never directly, have done this. No.
Yeah.
Never. Baba would give only love and love. Even Mama would give love, no doubt. I will share an incident with Mama. that we were a few kumaris, we were sitting with Mama in Mumbai. Mama used to also stay a lot in Mumbai. So we were 10-12 kumaris sitting with Mama. And Mama was sharing something. And one kumari came. And she came very upset. And she came to Mama and started complaining about another kumari, another sister. And the way she spoke, as if she was so upset that anger was visible on her face even when she was in front of Mama, because she was complaining with that feeling. So first of all, Mama looked at her. Mama said, very, very sweetly, "But I haven't done anything wrong. Why are you speaking like that to me?" See, the way she was speaking so sternly, so angrily, and complaining to Mama about the other one who was not even present. So Mama first of all stopped her and said, "But why are you saying like that in front of me? I haven't done anything wrong." So then she stopped. And then she said, "Okay, what do you want to say?" And she said, very angrily, with great force, complaining about the other sister. Then Mama said, okay, we will see. Now what happened? That other sister about whom she was complaining wasn't there. And then Mama started taking class. And then that sister came. But it was a surprise that when that sister came, who did not know that the other sisters complained about her, Mama praised her like anything. Praised her. Now that girl was wondering, Mama is praising her and she has done this wrong with me. But Mama praised her. And Mama didn't tell her anything. And afterwards, when everybody was gone, Mama called both of them and asked the other sister about whom the complaint came, that what happened. And the other sister, whatever the incident was, whatever happened, she said in a very, very sweet manner, very soft manner, and actually it was the complaint, it was the one who had complained, it was her fault. Yes, it was her fault. But she wanted to hide her fault and take out the defect of the other one. So she came running to give a complaint, so that Mama would take her side, because the one who comes first with the complaint, that one has the upper force. But Mama was very realistic, and when she got the whole situation, then instead of really telling the other one about whom the complaint came, she showed a stern eye to the first one. But then she said, "Okay, now both of you apologize. And both of you say sorry to each other. Both of you now embrace each other and forget." That was it, finished. Mm-hmm. So Mama used to be strict, but Baba, no. If anything would come, Baba would say, "Go to Mama." Mama, mother used to take care. Father, no.
Were there any other practical ways how Baba would teach the children? Like he would always be the example in doing something. Mm. Are there any stories how he would teach through practical example?
Well, Murli was the only practical thing through which Baba would speak. And anything, you'll see all these Murlis, they have got, and you know, Baba sayings, what small things. So Baba used to say everything in a Murli. Children, you should do this, you should do this, you should do that. So Murli was the only source through which Baba would tell practical things of what we had to do. But when somebody would go personally in front of Baba, Baba would praise and praise like anything. As if he had won Baba's heart throne completely. This was Baba. So but therefore, see how we experience through Sakar Murlis, Avyakt Murlis. Baba gives so much love, so much praise and so many titles. So that's what Baba used to give, even through personal meetings. And in the letters also, Baba would praise like anything. But if there would be any suggestion, Baba would give that suggestion too. So it was very practical, everything very practical.
Mm-hmm. Baba was always very playful, and we heard yesterday very humorous. Do you have any stories that demonstrate his humor and playfulness?
Baba was not only very humorous, but also there was so much innocence in Baba. You know, nobody could ever say, oh, Baba was very cunning or clever or shy, trying to, you know, be bossy. You know, very, very innocent, like a small child, innocent, like a small child. One small example I can give you, Manohar Dadi was sharing that once what she did, she took a coin and put it on and pressed it against Baba's forehead, very hard. Now of course that would leave a sign there, you know, like a mark there. And then she told Baba, now remove it without touching. So Baba did like this, and it came out. And then what she did again. But this time she didn't allow that coin to remain on the forehead. She took it out. But that impression still remains, no? And the feeling is that probably it is still there. So Baba is doing like this, but it's not coming down. And then she said, Baba said, where is it? It's not coming down. She said, then Baba said, see Baba, you didn't even know that I had removed it. That Baba said, how can I know? Because first time you put it, you let it remain there. How could I know? You know, so very innocent. Mm-hmm. Then once Didi asked Baba, how will a dumb person who can't speak ask for scissors, he can't speak, so he will do it through actions, no? So Baba said like this, no, this is how he will do, that he wants scissors. Okay, how will a blind person ask for water? So Baba said like this, then that Didi said, but he is blind, he is not dumb. Why should he say like this? Can't he ask for water? He's speaking words. He can say, but he can speak. He's not dumb to ask like that. And so Didi said, but Baba, he will ask, no, why should he do like, because Baba also did like this. Then Baba was very innocent. Baba said, oh, I thought he was dumb also. You didn't say that he was not dumb, because first you said he was dumb, you know, innocent, like an innocent child. So how innocent Baba was.
Tell us your funniest experience with Brahma Baba.
Well, once Baba, you know, my mother and myself both were sitting on the swing with Baba. I still remember that scene in Madhuban. Baba in the middle, Mama on this side, and I myself on this side. Three people could sit on the swing. So my Laukik mother and myself and were with Baba in the middle. So Baba asked me a question. Child, with whom are you swinging? I said, with Baba. With Baba. Then Baba asked, who else? Who else? With who else are you singing, swinging? I said, with my mother. You know, mommy, my mother. Then Baba asked again, who else? Who else? Now there was nobody else, only Baba and my mother on the swing. So I said, Baba, nobody else. Baba said, think again. So I said, no Baba, there's nobody else. There's nobody else on the swing. You know what Baba said? Baba said that when you're swinging with Baba, you must always have that elevated consciousness that I am singing with the highest three personalities. Highest three personalities. The first is the Supreme Being, Shiv Baba in his body. So Supreme Being, Shiv Baba, I am singing with him. So the highest Supreme Being, Father of all souls. And second, the highest human being, father of humanity. You know, Baba took my consciousness so high, the father of humanity. And third, this soul going to become Sri Krishna. So swinging with the highest and high deity. So first deity, first human being, and the supreme soul. So with whom are you swinging? And Baba elevated my consciousness, and I felt so proud, so intoxicated, because Baba said it in that intoxicated form.
Would you notice a difference when Shiv Baba was inside of Brahma Baba or not?
Of course, we would note the difference, because when Baba would be with us in ordinary way, we could feel that, oh, Baba is like us. But when Shiv Baba would come in the body of Brahma, we could feel the difference. First of all, the eyes, the deep drishti which Baba would give, that was very clear indication that now Shiv Baba is in the body of Brahma Baba, and this forehead would shine like anything. We could feel the difference. And then how Baba, we could feel the vibrations also different. You know? Mm-hmm. Just like when Gulzar Dadi, she sits, and then when Bab Dada comes, we can feel the difference. Now of course the difference is becoming less and less, because when we sit in front of Dadi, Bab Dada and Dadi, the difference isn't there. This is the same thing was during Sakar Baba's time, the last days of Brahma Baba. Baba becoming avyat, angelic, karmatit, perfect. We could not feel the difference. But before, yes, because Baba also was an effort maker soul.
Would you notice him making effort for remembrance?
Would you?
I don't know. Have you ever noticed it, or are there stories? We hear a few hints in the Murli that Baba would say, for example, he forgot to remember Shiv Baba while he's eating, so he would eat another chapati and do it in soul consciousness or in remembrance.
No, Baba would say that, before eating I was telling Shiv Baba, Baba, I will remember only you. I won't think of anything else. So Baba would start eating in Shiv Baba's remembrance, and after a few morsels, Baba would forget. So Baba would say it, you know. He was very truthful, honest. Baba would say, Brahma Baba forgot. Huh? Baba forgot Shiv Baba. Because somebody would come and speak to Baba, talk about anything to Baba, and Baba would become occupied in that while eating. So Baba would say, I forgot Shiv Baba. So even I forget Shiv Baba. Therefore, children, we have to be very careful to remember Shiv Baba while eating. I also forget. So Maya is very strong, how it makes us forget. So Baba would tell practical things about himself also, very honestly.
But would he also share or talk about how he would make effort to remember Baba? For example, what kind of thoughts or feelings he would have? Would it be instant, maybe just the word Baba and he would be there?
We see
so many differences in people now. I see a huge difference, for example, when people sit down for meditation. Jenti Wenz, she sits down, she's immediately in yoga. Someone else closes the eyes for a few minutes, concentrates really hard, and then they slowly open, and then you see then the connection is there. Dadi Kumaka, I never saw a difference. So we are all very different in how we remember Baba.
Yeah, with Brahma Baba also, there wouldn't be any difference. Baba would sit, and we were sure Baba is now the lighthouse immediately. Not that Baba would take time to stabilize himself.
And he wouldn't talk about what would go on inside of him to make him soul conscious, to make the connection?
No, Baba would speak in the Murli that, storms of Maya will come, children, but you should not be afraid. This one is the engine. And when the storm comes, it affects the engine first before it affects the carriages. So this one is the engine, and the storms will come to this one first, because this one is a very experienced soul. Brahma Baba is an experienced soul of the world, and also what Maya is, what the world is. And therefore, children, don't worry. Maya affects everyone, but the engine is affected first. So Baba has all experiences of how Maya comes. But children, you have to conquer Maya. So we used to actually never think that Baba is making effort to conquer Maya.
No, I've never heard a story of him having to struggle for anything.
The same thing with Dadi also. We could see in Dadi very clearly. You know, she was so natural in everything. We see in Dadi Janki. We see these Dadis. Do they have to really struggle? No. Not like that. So Baba also, Mama too, never had to struggle or to make effort to conquer Maya. In a second, Baba would give a full stop. So Baba used to do that. Mama used to do that. But then, of course, if whatever was right was accurate, Baba, Mama would do that, explain what was important, and then just forget.
Daddy Janki said once, it's much easier to become a king than a subject, because a king would just claim his right, whereas a subject would have to make effort. Do you think that was the case for Brahma Baba?
Yeah, so claim means easy, natural yogi. And effort means working hard. So those are going to become subjects, they have to work hard. They think, oh, we have to work hard, Maya is too strong. But the one who is to claim a kingdom, well, it's so natural and so easy for him. So also Baba said the other day in the blessing, your attention should be natural attention. So this was what Baba experienced, natural attention. No one could feel that they are really struggling or getting angry, but then conquering that anger or trying to take in that anger. No, very natural. In very adverse situations also. We used to see Dadi too. Somebody would come in front of Dadi and shout, shout, shout. But Dadi would be so quiet, so quiet, so silent. Not a word she would utter. Very quiet. And then how long could he speak? So he also would become quiet afterwards. And then, well, it would be his fault, but he wanted to hide his fault and try to show that he's not wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. But Dadi used to just keep quiet. And then after some time, he would come back and say, Dadi, I'm so sorry I did like that. But Dadi said nothing. So she would again give all the love because she was also like a mother. So Baba, Mama were mother and father, no?
Mm-hmm.
And the Dadis also, because they learned everything from Baba and Mama. And that's what the Dadis are.
Can you tell us a few more stories that demonstrate Baba's qualities? Or which was the main outstanding quality for you? Of course, there are so many.
See, when Baba talks about maintaining a balance, so Brahma Baba was a perfect example of what a balance is. On one hand, serving the self, on the other hand, serving the world. So self-service and world service, balance. So when you would, like, you know, the United Nations has this slogan, think globally, act locally. You know, think globally. When you're thinking, think in a global way. The whole world is in front of you. But when acting, act locally because you are in that one place. So this was what Baba really was. When he would speak the murli, he would speak with so much power, so much power. And we used to often ask Baba, Baba, today the way you spoke the murli, as if you were speaking to hundreds of people and maybe there were just 20, 25 people in front. But Baba used to speak in such a powerful way. So Baba would say that, children, I'm not watching only these people. I'm watching even those who are going to come in the future. I'm watching them also. And therefore, Baba is speaking to them as well, not only to those who are sitting here. You know what we think when we are speaking, I'm speaking only to you all. I don't think that I'm speaking to the whole world, although now I've started thinking in this way. Yeah, why? Because I remember the first time I went to the studio for shooting my program there, that person who was shooting, he said, look into the lens when you're speaking. Look into the lens. But because when I started speaking, I said, No one in front of me, in front of whom am I going to speak? I need people, no, to speak in front of. So there's no one and I have to speak. So he said, look into the lens and see that in that lens there are millions of eyes. There are millions of eyes and they're all watching you. Because so many thousands and thousands of people will be watching what you are recording in the studio. So, and then even once I was told my own experience that whenever the mic comes in front of you, never think that I'm speaking only to these people. Because this is being recorded. And recorded means once it's recorded, you can't take it back. Huh? And it's going to many, many people and how many will be listening to it. So whenever you're speaking through a mic, always remember that there are hundreds and thousands of people who will be hearing you. So this is how our understanding is now. Many people tell me, we watch you, we hear you, you read the Murli, we hear in London, you know. So it's because it's recorded. But Brahma Baba's time, all this was not there. But Baba's vision was unlimited even at that time. We see now how Avet Papdada says that Baba is seeing two types of gatherings. One gathering is of those who are sitting in front. And the other gathering is of those who are not here in front, but they are also watching Baba. So Baba is seeing the whole world. So this is how we used to see Baba. In the unlimited, Baba would stand and we would feel that yes, Shiva Baba is in his body and Baba would start giving drishti and everyone would just stand very silently. Now we see now Dadi Janki coming. When she comes, she stands and just gives drishti and everyone taking drishti. So this is what we used to experience from Brahma Baba as well. Mumbai as well. We would hesitate, wow, when somebody tells, give drishti, we will hesitate because some body consciousness may come. But Mama, Baba, Dadis, they're all Bhavsaman. So this is what we used to see in Brahma Baba. Baba, after the Murli, Baba would go to the room and everybody would follow Baba in the room and that would be like a chamber. And children would ask questions to Baba, which they couldn't ask in the class. But in Baba's room, Baba, they would ask questions from Baba and Baba would answer. Baba would ask questions, they would answer. So all, only knowledge, nothing worldly in front of Baba we ever heard. But Baba used to say that this is what you have to do, this is what you should not do, this is what is necessary, this is not necessary, so whatever was needed, Baba would say. But the very unlimited way. No limits. This is mine and that is not mine, no. Everything is Baba's. All are Baba's children. Even when Shiva Baba came in the body of Brahma Baba at the beginning, how Baba's drishti became unlimited. Not mine, these are my children, four children, five children are my children. No, the whole world is my children. Everyone, my children. That's what Baba felt. So how Baba was in the unlimited and he made everyone be in the unlimited. Do not come into limits. This one is mine and that one is not mine. The whole world is mine. This is what Baba made us feel and that's what he was too.
Okay. Traffic control.
Yeah. विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है
धाम में तुम्हें जाना
है The song this morning after Mulin of Shanti Bhavan was about Yogeshwar Brahma Baba. Hmm? Was he called that the god of yoga, Brahma Baba?
Yogeshwar.
Was he called that already in his Sakha days, or how did that come about?
Baba used to say in Sakha days, this is Sakha Murli, no? Hmm. So Baba used to say Shiva, Shiva Baba is called Yogeshwar, Gyan, Gyaneshwar. Yogeshwar, Baba is Yogeshwar, Gyaneshwar, and he makes you Gyan, Gyaneshwar, Yog, Yogeshwar. So whatever is title of Shiva Baba, he gives to the children.
So before we move to the more avyakt part, I wanted to ask if there are any questions. Speak loud.
Was Brahma Baba's living body, was it the trigger for you to dedicate?
Oh, well, that's a story. He's saying, was Brahma Baba's living body a trigger for you to dedicate? Well, actually, what happened was Baba left the body on 18th of January 69, and that was a Saturday evening. Every day I used to go to the center every evening, also morning to read, to hear Murli, but in the evening I used to give classes, I used to conduct lectures, give lectures, courses, explain the museum after coming from college. So I was in my last year of college, final year, doing my graduation in 69. And at 8 o'clock, I would go back home, 8 p.m. And so I went home by 8. I didn't know anything that Baba, about Baba. So I went home and I came the next morning to Madhuban, to the center in Bombay. So actually Baba left the body at 8:45, 8:50 at night on Saturday evening. So I was in Mumbai and I had finished my seva in center and I had gone home. But in the morning when I came to the center, it was a Sunday morning. And Sunday morning means many students, no? But when I reached the center, I found that there was hardly anybody there. And no dadis, no one. So, because dadis used to live in Mumbai too. So nobody there. So I asked, where are the dadis? Where's everybody? And they said that they've all gone to Mount Abu. I said, why? Because Baba has left the body. Because this message they got at night, immediately after Baba left the body, Dadi Prakash Mani sent lightning calls at that time. No, there's no mobile phones. We used to have local phones, and if we wanted STD outside that local, then we had to go to the manual, you know, manual telephone exchange. So it was not very easy during those days.
In the village.
Yeah, in the village. So there's a telephone exchange here. So through the telephone exchange, then we had to wait till the telephone exchange person would say, yes, now you can speak. They would make us connect. And that would take hours maybe. But then there were lightning call, 8 times the rate, each times. And they would give us immediately the call. So Dadi phoned everybody. By 9 o'clock, everybody already got the message. The main centers, and the main centers then told their local centers. So many started coming. They left home, then came to Mount Abu. Some by taxi, some by car, some by buses, some by train. Whole night they traveled to come to Mount Abu. It was not very easy, you know. Even coming from Mumbai to Abu was not easy by train. They had to change at Ahmedabad because Ahmedabad line was the broader line, broader rail line. And Ahmedabad to Abu, smaller airline. Rail line.
Yeah.
So change trains. It was not easy to travel at that time, not like now. Flights also hardly any. So, but everybody started at night to be here the next day. And I didn't know. So when I went the next morning to class and got the news that Baba has left the body, well, it was a big shock for me, my personal experience. It was a very big shock for me. And what I felt at that time, as if, you know, my legs started shaking. I was like shocked. And I felt that the earth was moving. And maybe the sky or the ceiling will just fall apart and come down. And the world will be destroyed. This was my thought at that moment. The world will be destroyed. And I looked around. I said, finish, world is gone. The whole world is going to be destroyed now. But then another thought came in my mind. I was telling Baba, you wanted me to become a spiritual doctor and I haven't yet finished my studies. How can I be a spiritual doctor? And Baba, you are gone. So I was just thinking like that, and I went and sat in the meditation in the hall and I started like speaking to Baba. Baba, I haven't fulfilled your promise. And Baba, you are gone. Baba, you have left me and gone. And Baba, how will I fulfill your promise now? I want to just surrender to Baba. I want to fulfill your promise to serve the world. And as I was saying this to Baba, I felt Brahma Baba in an angelic form. Baba appeared in front of me in an angelic form, very beautiful. And Baba put his hand on my head. I could feel that. And Baba said, child, Baba is not gone. Baba is not gone. Baba is here and with you, and you will fulfill Baba's wish. These were Baba's words I could feel. And that gave me some consolation. Then later on, of course, I came to know that Avyakt Bap Dada came and Bap Dada gave lots of instructions for how the yajna will run, how now Baba's service will take place, how children will keep coming to Madhuban. And Baba said, keep training programs in Madhuban for kumaris, for mothers, for brothers, for couples, for teachers. Keep training programs, refresher courses in Madhuban. Before there were no question of refresher courses or training. Of course, Brahma Baba used to say, you know, the training center which was under construction, which is next to the Tower of Peace. Dadi Janki shared her experience that one day she was holding Baba's hand and Baba was taking her, they were walking together. And Baba told Dadi Janki, see, this training center is under construction and you have to train the brothers and sisters, I will make Indraprastha for you. And this is the place where I'll make a place for you to live here in Indraprastha, and you give training. So the training center in Pandav Bhavan was under construction. So Baba already had in mind that there would be a training programs in Madhuban. So when Baba became Avyat, well, Avyat Bapdada said now there will be trainings in Madhuban and Bhattis in Madhuban. And so Dadi Janki was called, she was living in Pune. And she came, and Dadi Prakash when he was in Mumbai. So she was also called, Didi Manmohini was in Madhuban, Dadi Chandramani, she was in Punjab, she was called. So Bab Dada, like Baba called all the Dadis to Madhuban. In 1952, when centers started opening in India, Baba sent all the Dadis to for service. And after Baba became Avyakt, Baba called all the Dadis to Madhuban. And Madhuban was the main attraction. Now Dadis were, they were the Shaktis, because Baba said in the Avyakt Murli that now Shiva will become incognito, Shaktis will come in the front. The sun and the moon will become the backbone, the stars will come in the world, in front and shine in the world. This is what Baba said in the Murlis. So Shaktis in the front, Shiva will be hidden. The Shaktis have to reveal Shiva, and Shiva will reveal the Shaktis. So all that is in that Murli. And then, so Baba said, Baba is not gone and you will fulfill Baba's wish. Then of course the training program for Kumari started in May 69. I had finished my graduation and I decided that now I will surrender to Baba. So that was it. You can say, call it trigger. It was definitely a form of trigger. Okay? Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us more about your experience of the Avyakt angel Brahma Baba. And do you remember him as the Avyakt angel Brahma Baba, or is it Avyakt Bab Dada? And how do you work with
See,
the Avyakt form?
Avyakt, you can say Bab Dada together, because after Brahma Baba became Avyakt, we cannot separate Shiv Baba from Brahma Baba.
Yeah, okay.
They are in the combined form, we say. Before we used to feel, yes. Now just Brahma Baba, now Shiva Baba and Brahma Baba.
Yeah.
In the last days, that difference was also not felt. Now you can see in Gulzar Dadi too. Before we used to feel that this is Gulzar Dadi, and then when Bab Dada would come, we would feel the difference between Bab Dada and Gulzar Dadi. But in the later, we are seeing for the past 2 years, 3 years, the difference is not felt at all. Dadi comes and sits, and when Bab Dada comes, we don't even come to know, because the eyes are open all the time. Before, the eyes were shut. She would go into trance, give a jerk, and then Baba would come and then open the eyes slowly, slowly, and then we would know that Bab Dada has come. But nowadays, it doesn't happen. Dadi sits, and after some time, Bab Dada starts giving drishti, without that jerk also, nothing. Right? Because Dadi also become Bab Saman, no? We can feel that she's Bab Saman. So Brahma Baba also, we couldn't feel the difference in the last years. We couldn't feel. Before, we could feel the difference when Shri Baba would come. But later on, the difference was not felt, just like we don't feel the difference now when Bab Dada comes in Gulzar Dadi. And when Bab Dada goes also, we don't feel the difference. You know?
Yeah, so sometimes we can feel a bit, but it's not visible anymore.
Not visible to that extent as it was before. So I would always, I can say that, yes, Bab Dada are always together. I see Brahma Baba as an angel, or Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba, and both in that angelic form. It's the same. I don't feel there's any difference now.
Baba has told us a long time ago that we have to learn to celebrate subtle meetings. And I remember that year 1989, when Baba didn't come because of Dadi Gulzar's body, he said it at that time already.
Yeah, because then Baba invites us to come to the subtle regions and celebrate a meeting with him there. Because now we invite Bab Dada from subtle regions to come here. But at times Baba invites us to be there and enjoy that subtle meeting in the subtle regions. And now also we are saying, I don't know about tomorrow, how it's going to work out, because if Gulzar Dadi comes from Ahmedabad, she's in Ahmedabad, and her health is not good.
She hasn't left yet.
I don't know. But we have to be prepared, and let's see drama. But of course, a Vyakt program will be there if Dadi doesn't come. Sometimes Dadi, you know, last time Dadi was in Bombay, and we had that conference call from Bombay. No, you remember that?
Yes.
So now she's in Ahmedabad, and if she's not able to come, maybe a conference call there, or maybe we will watch one of the old videos of Bhaktada. I don't know. Really don't know anything. So we just keep our fingers crossed. But then now it's the high time that we also become like Bhaktada and meet Baba more in the subtle regions, because time is very short.
Yeah.
We have to be. Pardon?
How you travel?
Well, we have to become angelic first. This physical gross body has to be forgotten. You know, that body consciousness, that shell of body consciousness has to be shunned or, you know, removed, and then be in that angelic form, like I'm in my angelic state, very light, though in the body, but it's a body of light. Because this is what Gulzar Dadi experienced when she went first time to the subtle regions. She experienced the angelic form of Brahma Baba. She was the first soul to visualize the subtle regions. Before, in the yajna, visions used to take place. You know, many would get visions, but then they would see vision of destruction, vision of golden age, vision of Paramdham, vision of Krishna, but never vision of subtle regions. So it's only Gulzar Dadi who was the first one to get the vision of Gulzar, of subtle angelic Brahma Baba, angelic Bap Dada rather, Brahma Baba, Shiv Baba in the angelic form of Brahma Baba. How she used to see Shiv Baba's soul and Brahma Baba's soul, and, you know, in the forehead of Brahma Baba, angelic Brahma. And when she saw angelic Brahma for the first time, she was like afraid actually, because she wasn't sure what it was. Because she used to see Brahma Baba only in the corporeal form, and now full of light all around, and the body of light, and the soul visible, Shiva Baba's soul, Brahma Baba's soul, which you can't see otherwise in a physical body because of the opaque body and these physical eyes. But in angelic form, it's impossible to watch, you know, in trance. So when she saw that for the first time, she was afraid. And she just came down. And when she came down, she wanted to share that with somebody. So she shared it with Dadi Brijendra. You know, she was also one of the Dadis. And Dadi Gulzar was very young at that time. So she shared it with her, and then Dadi Brijendra took her to Baba. And Baba asked her, "What did you see?" Because even Brahma Baba was not sure of what she saw. So she said, "Your physical form which I see you now, I saw your same form but an angelic form, filled with light, all light around you." Then Baba was curious. Baba asked her, "Why didn't you ask him, who are you? Why didn't you ask him?" She said, "Baba, how could I ask? I was afraid." You know, she was afraid because she didn't understand what it was. So then Baba told her, "Okay child, go again. Go again and when you meet that same figure, ask him, who are you? So she got Srimat, and she again sat, and then she flew and saw the angelic form of Brahma Baba, and she asked him, "Who are you?" And that form said, "I am the complete form of Brahma in the angelic world, and this Brahma, after he attains perfection, will become this one." You know, Baba gave the signal towards him. So he will attain perfection, become this one. After that, she has to see two Brahmas. You know, one the like the corporeal one and the other the angelic one. And she has to see how they are coming closer to one another. And Baba used to tell her, go and see how close has this corporeal form come to the angelic form. How close. And she used to come back and say, Baba, getting closer. Getting closer. And then when Baba became avyat, then she went again went into trance. And this time she saw how that corporeal had merged in the angelic and it was only one. Because Dadi Prakashmani told Gulzar Dadi, go and ask Baba, why did you leave us? And Baba's body was there. 3 days Baba's body was kept in Pandav Bhavan, in the history hall. And she used to go into trance and she used to see angelic Brahma Baba in the certain regions, although the physical body was in state, lying in state. And so when she saw that angelic form and said, Baba, why did you leave us and go? Baba said, I haven't left you all. I am with you. Like I saw that experience. I got it in Bombay. So this is what she saw too. And Baba has it gone and Baba will come and meet the children. And then Baba said, I have only changed my costume and my room. That's all. Costume, the physical body costume, I've changed it into angelic costume. And my room, the physical world, I've changed it into angelic world. So change that all like 3 rooms. Physical world, angelic world and soul world. So from physical world room, I've gone to the angelic world room. From physical body, which I have relinquished and taken the angelic body. So Baba has not gone and Baba will come. Then also this question was asked because Dadi Prakashmani told Gulzar Dadi, ask Baba, Baba, what was your last stage before the soul left the body? And Baba told that also. Baba said at the end, you know, because Baba was dead and his legs were down and he was sitting on his bed, eyes were closed, it was about 9:15 to 9:00. And Dadiji went to the room, to Baba's room. Otherwise she would not go. Usually Baba would give class from 8:30 to 9:30. That was a regular time. But that day on 18th, everything was 1 hour earlier. Dinner at 6:30 instead of 7:30. Otherwise 7:30 dinner. Dinner at 6:30 and Murli, night class from 8:30 to 9:30 was changed to 7:30 to 8:30. So up to 8:30 Baba gave the Murli, they spoke the Murli. And after finishing the Murli, he came on the doorstep and he bowed before the children and said, folded his hands and bowed and folded his hands and spoke 3 words, which were his last words. Children, may you always be bodiless, wiseless, egoless. Okay, Baba takes leave. That was he said, and he left. Went to his room. So it was about 10 to 9. Straight away he went to his room. It was very cold, very cold. And of course nobody would be standing out, no, in the open. And when Baba went to his room, Dadi had the thought, it's not very late. Let me go and say good night to Baba. So Baba was sitting on his bed and had become bodiless. And Dadi went and stood in front of her, in front of him. She said, Baba, Baba, Baba. Baba didn't answer. So Dadi, just to draw his attention, Dadi caught hold of his hands because his hands were like this. So Dadi caught hold of his hands and Baba opened his eyes and Baba gave drishti to Dadi. So that was Sunday's Murli, you heard that through drishti and hands, how Baba willed all the powers to Dadi Prakashmani without saying anything. But just those last 3 words at the end of the class in the history hall. And through drishti and hands, Baba handed over. And then afterwards, when Gulzar Dadi was told to go into trance and ask Baba, Baba, what was your last stage, your last thought? So Baba said, there were three pulls. One pull was of Shiv Baba, calling the child, come child, become my constant companion. The second pull was from the avyakt angelic form of Brahma Baba, the complete form. That was pulling the soul, become me, because Baba was attaining perfection. And the third was the last pull of the physical body, settling the final karmic accounts of with the body. So, but that was conquered, and the pull of Shiv Baba and the angelic Brahma was experienced. And at that moment, the thought also came that Baba has not said anything to anyone. So maybe Baba remembered Dadi Prakashmani, and Dadi had a thought, let me go. So she was present when Baba left the body, hand in hand and drishti, and Baba left the body. And so it was all given to her. And then Dadi felt the hands had become loose, you know, because the soul had left. And then she couldn't understand, because she had never seen anyone leaving the body. Mm. And this was the first experience of seeing in front of her that Baba has left the body. So maybe the body became little loose. So she made Baba lie down. The doctor was called, and a lot of pumping was done, but the soul had already left. Anyway, but that drishti and hand gave her so much strength, so much power, that she didn't allow anyone to cry. But she wrote to everybody, she phoned everybody, Baba has become avyakt, come immediately, drama. These were the three words, three lines. Baba has become avyakt, drama, come immediately. Come to Madhuban, to all the seniors, the dadis who were in different centers, and how they came rushing. So all through subtle regions experience. And then when Dadi told Baba, Baba, that means Dadi Prakashmani told Dadi Gulzar, again go and ask Baba. So she was like a medium between Bab Dada and the subtle regions and Dadi Prakashmani. Because even Dadi didn't know what to do. Nothing was informed. And how she, whatever she would ask Dadi, Dadi Gulzar would go and tell Bab Dada, and Bab Dada would give the message. So that was the 3 days before the body became, before the body was cremated at the Tower of Peace. And Baba said that Baba will come. So how Baba will come, nobody knew. But then after the body was cremated on 21st of January, there was bhog in the history hall, and Dadi Gulzar went into trance. And now when Bab Dada came, first the trance was normal, because Dadi used to go to trance anyway, a jerk, and her eyes were shut and she would be in trance. But then that happened okay. But afterwards, we didn't know what would happen, because Baba had promised in the message that Bab Dada will come and meet the children, but how? Nobody knew. And then the eyes started opening gradually, gradually, gradually. It took time for the eyes to open fully. And then Bab Dada started giving drishti to everybody. Even though the microphone was placed, but Baba was not speaking. Gradually Baba was giving drishti to everyone. So powerful it was. And when Bab Dada started speaking, it wasn't Gulzar Dadi's voice. It was like voice coming from the heavens. Angelic voice, very soft, a whisper. You know, if I'm like whispering, it's a whisper. But through the microphone, it becomes distorted. Normal voice is not distorted, but a subtle, like a whisper, will be distorted when it is spoken through a microphone. So that was the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And once Bab Dada was asked that, Baba, why this voice? So Baba said, this is the angelic voice, because in subtle regions there is only whisper, no sound, only lips movement.
Mm-hmm.
So that lips movement, when made amplified through an amplifier microphone, then that becomes like a distorted voice. And now, no more. No yeah. more, because Gulzar Dadi has become like Bab Dada. So how in that Murli, Baba revealed now how this Yajna will run. And that's how it is running.
Thank you very much, Shiluben. I think okay. our time is over now. Do you think we could finish with one more round of chanting Om?
Okay.
Just to finish it off.
Okay. Everyone satisfied? Yes.
A big thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And also, a big thank you. If I can ask the translators, please, if you can stay in your booth, we just have a few announcements. So if you can please just stay there for a couple of minutes. Thank you.
So let us chant three times again. But now we can do it with Shanti, okay?
Shanti.
Oh.